Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is the analogy of scripture. If God is consistent and the Bible is God's word, then the Bible is consistent. We can then use scripture to interpret scripture, understanding less clear verses in light of clear verses. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Todd and team are out on campus at Kennesaw State University today. And let's get right back out there to them on campus and not waste a whole lot of time. Guys?
This is Thomas, and I am going to tell you something about Thomas that he didn't tell me, but I think is accurate. Are you ready?
Sure.
Because we've been talking for a few minutes.
Yes, sir.
And you've mentioned your family at least 5 times to me. Did you know that?
I did not realize that.
You did, because you were talking about this T-shirt that you're wearing on the wrong campus. And you said your family, they're big Bulldog fans, right? Yes, sir. And we talked about baseball, and you said your family and your dad really love Turner Stadium, etc. So based on just how much you've been talking about family, I'm going to guess you're a church-going Bible Belt kid named Thomas, correct?
Yes, sir.
Named after the Thomas of the Bible, am I correct?
Yes, sir. That is why my name is Thomas.
Because family's important to you. That's kind of sweet, I have to confess to you. That is very nice to hear that family means something to you, and that typically means you're a Christian.
Yes, sir. I go home a lot just to see my family and my friends.
Yeah. That's very sweet. Thomas, tell me. If I approached you on this bench and I sat down and I said, looks to me like your life is together, you're a pleasant young man, life seems to be going in the right direction for you, I understand you're a Christian, would you please share with me why I should become a Christian like you?
Just personally, like, it's been for me since my sophomore year of high school, just really like life changing. Just like I have like a whole new like perspective on like life and just like everything that I do is really about. And just like not everything is about me, not everything is about my parents and trying to please them, but to please the Lord and to do everything like in His glory for Him. And just personally for me, like ever since I got baptized going into my freshman year, but really kind of started focusing on it my sophomore year of high school, I just kind of like had a better mindset on like what to do like in like any given situation, like right now.
Okay, so if I'm interpreting you rightly, you just encouraged me to become a Christian because I will be able to live more for other people and perhaps understand situations better. Is that a correct summary?
Yes.
Now, what if, Thomas, I said to you, you know what? That doesn't sound all that exciting because right now I actually do live for other people to a degree and I can cope pretty well. So therefore, I don't think that I need to become a Christian. What would you say to me?
This is actually a very difficult question. One thing that we do at my church, I go to North Star Church. Well, I go to the college ministry. I'll be going later today. And our big thing is talking about living sent. Living, we are, as Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you in John 20:21. And we read that every Tuesday at the end of service. And oftentimes we come to the problem with like, oh, we have to face other people that don't know Christ and don't know what to expect. And one thing that we've actually been praying for is, I think it's Matthew 10 verse 2. It is, pray for the harvest, which are the people that do not know Christ. And it's also, but pray for the workers who do work on the harvest, which are the followers. So the harvest are non-believers and the workers are followers right now. And that is personally one thing that I am working on. Like, I personally don't know what I could say to you too much. I am not the most intelligent of the Bible. I do oftentimes know what I'm talking about, but in some situations I don't know what to say. So with Matthew 10:2, it's I'm praying for everyone that I talk to with you. If somebody were to sit next to me and be a non-believer and ask me about it, I'm praying for them, but I'm also praying for myself to be more knowledgeable, to learn more about it, and just spread the word correctly.
Let's see if this helps you in that endeavor. All right, let's change roles. All right, you come up to me and you say, I don't know what you're doing on this campus, dude, but I understand you're a Christian. Why would you try to persuade me to become a Christian too? So you're the unbeliever, I'm the Christian. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Well, Thomas, I would ask you questions like this. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes, sir.
How many lies do you think you've told in your life, Thomas?
Too many to count.
Yeah, right. Okay, so if somebody tells a lot of lies, you would call that person a?
Sinner.
Specifically, though, you'd call them a?
Bad person.
Yeah, true, but they're a liar. You tell lies, yes. You're a liar. Have you ever stolen anything?
From a store, no, just from siblings, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so doesn't matter who who you pinched, but you stole something.
Yes.
Okay, so what do you call somebody who steals things?
A robber, a stealer.
Okay, so you are a liar. You're a thief. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Sadly, yes.
That's called blasphemy. That's a serious crime against God. Have you ever dishonored your parents in any way? All you had to do is be naughty once.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Okay. So I know that's true. All right. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust in your heart?
Yes, as everybody has.
All right. Because Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say, look, with lust, you commit adultery in your heart. Have you ever murdered anybody, Thomas?
No.
Let's test that. Because Jesus said, if you're ever angry with somebody unjustly, you're in danger of judgment. The Bible says that's like murdering in your heart. You know, you don't kill somebody with an axe, but you've got that feeling that you'd like them off of the planet. That's like murdering in your heart. Have you ever done that?
Yes, I have been angry at a friend for no good reason.
Okay, so we just walked through about 5 or 6 commandments, Thomas. Do you still think you're a good person?
Yes.
How can you rationalize breaking all of these laws, sinning against God, with being a good person?
Well, because like it's about like repenting and knowing like in the moment like what you did is bad and trying to correct that, trying to say taking something from a brother. Let's say I took a video game, just random thought, and I knew that was bad in the moment. But then I tell myself that I'm not going to do it again. And I could pray about it. I could say like, man, hey God, I don't think I should be doing this. It's not the right thing. And then it's like, I try my best to not do it again.
Let's imagine for a second, Thomas, that a criminal is pulled into a courtroom and he's guilty of stealing some videos from a Blockbuster when they used to have those things. And he says, Judge, when I did it, I felt kind of bad, and I'm not going to do it again. The judge would say, good, you should feel bad, and you're correct, you shouldn't do it again. But you're still guilty of being a thief. You still did it, and that does not make up for the wrongdoing that you've done. So, Thomas, I would try to persuade you, you're like the rest of us, and you're exactly what the Bible says when it says, nobody does good, no, not one. All sin falls short of the glory of God. Now, Thomas, if that's true, and someday, Lord willing, it's a long time in the future, you die. God calls you before his bench. He is seated on his throne. He is the just judge of all the world, and he knows, like, not just what we do, but what we think. Everything. Books are opened up. He knows how many times you've looked at lust, with lust, maybe looked at porn, maybe didn't do things with your body that you knew shouldn't have been done, when you dishonored your parents every single time, cheated on a test, the whole shebang. Mm-hmm. Not to mention if you've ever been like racist or sexist, every thought.
Everything.
Is he going to find you innocent or guilty?
He will find me worthy of the kingdom of God. Because I know in my heart that I am baptized as Christ was baptized, I am too. And just like in my heart, I will continue to be a Christian, because when Jesus came down, he sat with the sinners. He sat with the prostitutes. He sat with the people who did the wrong thing. He didn't sit with the kind people. He didn't sit with the bad people. He sat with those who were not the best people, the people who you see on the streets who, like, you're like, oh man, they are not a good person. You can just tell. Those are the people that Jesus goes to. And I know that Jesus has been with me before, but I am baptized in Christ, and I will always do my best to follow him, to be like him. And I feel in my heart that I would be worthy.
And stop. Okay, we've got to take a break, but this conversation with Thomas is far from over. Todd has just shared the law with Thomas, who is a believer, but there may be a little error that can be cleaned up in Thomas's worldview there. Come back after the break. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
Big news from Fortis Institute. You know how we have 8 fellows already bringing you free daily content at fortisplus.org? Well, starting February 7th, our very first fellowette will make her debut. Libby Glossett, one of the finest biblical counselors in the entire country, is coming on board. And you know, people might think we're trying to add a woman's voice to check some type of boxes or appease the feminists, but the truth is, we found one of this country's most incredible biblical counselors who just happens to be a woman. And her way of applying God's word to real life is extremely powerful. She'll be launching a weekly podcast and creating resources just for women. So if there's a woman in your life looking for solid biblical teaching, tell them to mark their calendars for February 7th and head to fortisplus.org, or go ahead and download Fortis Plus on their mobile device right now and be ready for Libby Glossin. fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Knowledge is power, but only when applied. Like a story I heard about on the radio the other day, this woman worked a job for a tech company previously, and she stopped working at some point to be a mother. Years later, realized that the stock options they gave her were worth millions. Imagine having a bank account filled with millions of dollars, never using it. Well, that's theology without application. Introducing Integrated with Dr. John Krotz.
We'll help you connect head and heart, turning Bible knowledge into life-changing action.
Thank you, Dr. Krotz. And at Fortis Institute, listen, we're standing strong in a world that's losing its weight. Our name means strong in Latin, and that's our promise to you. Visit fortisinstitute.org or download the Fortis Plus app today and start listening to Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, and then join us in standing firm no matter the cost, because in a world that's falling apart, we're building something strong. FortisInstitute.org. It's FortisInstitute.org.
Attributes of God. God is just. Since he is the standard of right and wrong, every judgment he makes is right and just. He rewards good and punishes evil. The good news for sinners is that the just God offers to justify you through the atoning work of Christ, so that your sins are punished on the cross and Jesus' righteous deeds are accounted to you.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And back we are on Wretched Radio. It's a Witness Wednesday, and we've been listening to Todd chat with Thomas, who is a believer, though it seems there are some things that Thomas needs some clarification on. So let's get back to Todd and Thomas now on Wretched Radio.
There is still so much more that I can do, and a part of living sent is this being a better person and trying to live more like Jesus to make sure that I am worthy of the kingdom of God.
Let me perhaps offer you something better today, okay? But I'm going to ask you to just work with me a little bit. Not if you disagree with me, but just try to reason with me through this just a little bit, all right? If you do something bad, it requires some sort of payment. You've earned a debt against society, so you go to jail, you go to the workhouse, you've incurred a debt. How do you think your good works are going to pay the debt that you owe to God? All of the things that you've done, if we put them on a scale, all right, all of the times that you've lied or lusted or cheated or stolen, we put those on a scale. It's pretty heavy. How much good do you think you're going to need to do to outweigh that?
A lot. There's more good to be done in this world than we realize. I mean, kindness goes a very long way, and I feel like kindness is a good start.
Here's the problem, though, Thomas. We're not as kind as we should be. I'm never as charitable as I should be. I'm never as honest as I should be. I just keep on falling short over and over again. And if I am responsible for balancing the scales of justice, I got to tell you, that is a burden I don't think I can bear. I can't do enough good. Furthermore, doing good does not offset bad. For instance, criminal goes into a courtroom. He's broken 10 laws. He is busted for sure. But he says to the judge, "Your Honor, I know I've committed those 10 crimes, but let me tell you about the 10 good things I've done. I did 100 good things. I walked somebody across the street who needed help. I bought a soda for somebody who was thirsty. I helped my little brother with his homework." And he rattles off 100 good deeds. What is the judge going to say to him?
Too bad. You still did those 10 crimes.
Exactly. And that's your situation. And that's my situation. We've done bad.
We have done a lot of bad things, and that we can still do good. But Jesus came to die for our sins, for those bad things that we have done, to take all that in. When he died on the cross, he died for everybody, no matter who you are, what you look like. It doesn't matter. Yeah, he died for our sins. So.
But now we got to harmonize your worldview here, because you just told me that Jesus died to forgive our sins. But all along, you've been telling me you have to do stuff to have your sins forgiven. Those are not the same thing, are they?
Correct.
One, what you were expressing all along was you have to work your way to appease God. What you just said now is Jesus Christ appeased God by dying for sinners. Totally different message. Which one do you believe?
I believe both. Again, we are sent. I am sent. I am a messenger for those who do and don't believe. But we are sent to walk the walk and talk the talk. Go around and spread everything that we're taught about Jesus. I am told to learn and to live like Jesus.
I totally agree with that, Thomas. But I think there's an order that maybe, just maybe, you've got a little bit mingled and confused here. Okay. The bad news is, on Judgment Day, you don't have a chance. You deserve the wrath of God just like I do, because of all of the sins that we've committed against God. That's our situation. But God is rich in mercy, and he sent his son to live the perfect life we can't live. He died a brutal death on our behalf. So it's as if God took your rap sheet and pinned it on Jesus. And in exchange, Jesus gives you his resume of goodness so that you can be forgiven totally of your sins, even seen as righteous, because Jesus gives you his good works credited to your account, and you can be seen as the righteousness of God in Christ. That's the gospel. Thomas, that means your works do not save you. They cannot help you. Furthermore, they're good deeds offered with dirty hands. It would be like Adolf Hitler giving you a bouquet of flowers. You'd go, "No thanks, Adolf. They're real nice. I'm not interested because you're giving them to me." Same thing is true with God. We like to think we're offering up our goodness, but they're delivered with blood-stained hands, and they're not acceptable to God. But Jesus' work is acceptable to God because he satisfied God's justice, and he credits us with goodness so we can be commended to God. That's the good news of the gospel. Then we try to become messengers for Jesus. We try to obey Jesus, not in order to get saved, but because we've been saved.
I was actually waiting for you to say that. I was expecting you to say that, and you did say it, because it's almost like it isn't fair for other people who are non-believers, because we have been graced with this almighty God. Jesus came to die for our sins, and we are saved, and we will experience eternal life in heaven. But then there's so many other people who don't have the luxury of that, and it is our deed for those who are saved to go out and be the messenger for those people.
But the message is this: you're not good, you're bad, and you deserve God's wrath. But Jesus Christ is good and merciful and gracious and kind, and he died to satisfy the wrath of God. Run to Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. He offers you terms of peace with his Father. He's satisfied what you cannot accomplish by yourself. Put your trust in him because he is the most benevolent, amazing being in the universe. That's our message. Then from that knowledge comes the desire to obey. So Thomas, I do need to challenge you a bit though, okay? All along, you've been kind of trying to present your own goodness as being what's going to get you to heaven or earn you forgiveness. Jesus addressed those people. They were actually called Pharisees, because they were work righteous. They thought they were doing good to please God. And Jesus, he toppled that. He said, no, you're not good, but I am. Put your trust in me and you'll be seen as good. So Thomas, my challenge to you on this bench today, do a little introspection, okay? Because your baptism, it didn't make you right with God. It can't. It's water and it's a work, okay? What makes you right with God is Jesus and him alone. So if you are at all trusting in your own works, you need to forsake that notion. And you need to believe in Jesus and his good works and then live that out, not to please God for forgiveness, but to please God because you've been forgiven. If you don't have that right and you're not relying on grace alone and Christ alone, Jesus warned, you won't inherit the kingdom. Okay, so just make sure you've got that really straight in your own brain. Then when you share it with others, you'll do that articulately. But more importantly today is make sure you're believing in Jesus alone and not yourself, okay?
Being selfish is one of the greatest problems with everybody, including in the church, including I've seen pastors who are overly selfish. And that being selfish is not good. It's a sin. And we should be doing it all for Jesus Christ.
Because of him. All right. Yeah. So you've got that straight in your belief system?
Yes, sir.
So when I die, I'm going to see you in heaven. Why?
Because we both trying to say it like you presenting it, which is the correct way. We believe in Christ, and we've done everything for Christ to spread the word about him, to lead others to him.
Now remember though, that part is not what got you to heaven. That doing that part about going and telling people, we do that because we've already been granted heaven. Right? We don't do that because we got to do that in order to get heaven. That makes it a work. And here's what the Bible says. By grace are you saved through faith alone, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no man should boast. Because you see, if I can go to heaven and somebody asks, why are you here? I can say, well, Jesus died for me, but I also did good things. I told people about Jesus. Then I earned my way there, at least in part. And that's not the way it works. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe, right? We don't earn our way. He does it for us. So make sure you're keeping that straight in your head, because this should take a burden off of you, and it should give you more joy, and it should give you more assurance. And on those days, Thomas, when you still lie or you still lust, or you still do something that you know you shouldn't have done, you're still forgiven. You're still in God's grace. He will not let you go. Nobody can snatch you from his hand. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that is the knowledge. The next time you're tempted, it's going to keep you from wanting to commit that sin, because why would I want to sin against the God who died to save me? Fair enough?
Yes, sir.
Now, that was an encouraging conversation. I'm serious. How often these days do you run across a genuine believer on a secular college campus? It's really not often. And Thomas did have some trouble verbalizing the correct order of salvation, the Ordo Salutis, but that doesn't make me believe he's any less of a believer or lost, just needs a little guidance. Well, another Witness Wednesday in the books. Time does really fly by every week. And we'll see you back here on campus next Wednesday and back here tomorrow for another Wretched Radio. Until then, until tomorrow, go serve your King.